It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, ambling, intrepid, curious, exploratory reporter. Ruth, what you got?
Well, hopefully people are out there voting today. It is primary day here in Connecticut. Polls are open all day from 6 to 8 p.m. You must be, by this point, I think you must be registered in a party in order to take part. There were
Yes, it
days
makes part.
where you could change or join, but I think today is it. So
no, the deadline passed on switching parties
right.
a while
Yeah.
back, and this is for party members only. So if you're an
Only.
unaffiliated voter, don't come.
Right. So there are contests for governor
On the Democrat side
on the
now,
Democratic side. Yeah, let's get it straight.
Republicans, yep, Republicans have no primary in that one.
Yeah, so it's Ned Lamont is being the incumbent is being challenged by Josh Elliott. And in the Republican race, Chris Shea and Jonathan DeBarros are both going for the fifth House seat
Yeah,
slot.
in each
So.
case there, one of the two candidates is also a party-endorsed candidate, which means they were endorsed by the party back when they had the conventions and caucuses. However, the other person who's come in was able to either garner enough votes there or get signatures enough to challenge that nomination, which then occurs, as we're talking about today, and at this point is the final. Whoever wins today's primaries on either side in any districts or statewide will be the candidate on the ballot in November.
Correct. Right.
So that
So,
should get all of that nice and clear.
yeah, man, it'll be interesting to see the percentage of turnout as always. We'll
Yeah.
see. We'll see.
These things usually don't draw heavy turnouts. And
And
as we've discussed,
we've had early voting going on for several days. So,
yeah, since the 3rd of August. They say, typically, it
go
seems
on.
to be more a waste of energy than it is anything else, at least for the small towns, because,
Although
most
I
people.
was in Kent one day and there was quite a line, I must say. They
Really?
were
Well,
very
okay.
active and busy. So,
maybe it's catching on finally.
yeah. And we now have no excuse absentee ballot. That was just recently passed. So,
Yeah.
you can get an absentee ballot for any reason.
And essentially, with all of that going on, then no one should have any excuse not to go vote.
Which is my bugaboo about people not voting. When you think of the past and what people went through to get that privilege or right, whatever you call, and they don't take advantage of it, that just sends me off. But
I hear you. I join in that send off.
In Canaan, Brian Oler, the selectman now, has resigned. He was the former first selectman. He lost the race to Jesse Bunce last November by a margin of two. And then he had medical issues, and so he took medical leave. He's been out for several months and just announced he's resigning. He did resign at the end of July. And the Board of Selectmen are charged with replacing him with a recommendation from the Republican Town Committee, since Brian Oler was elected on the Republican ticket. I don't think anything has happened yet, but we'll stay tuned on that one. And in relation to that, Jean Jackier, if you remember the brouhaha, she was the town clerk who was literally moved out of her office by the police. I mean, she had been out of the office for a long time, but had never resigned. And when she did try and come back, she was escorted out by the police. And then she had filed suit about to get money back for the lawyer's fees that she had incurred trying to get her seat back, her job back. Well, they have reached an agreement. The town settled with Jean, and she was awarded $48,000 towards her fees. The town will pay $12,500, and the insurance carrier will cover the remaining $35,500. And so hopefully that whole issue now is put to rest, and the town will go on. They have a new town clerk, and as they say, that was a it tore the town apart. Let's just say it was a and unfortunate, the whole thing. So let's hope that things will settle down now. Well, they
Now,
have settled down.
do we know under North Canaan's rules and regs on the selectmen, does this person who's going to take the seat Brian Oler had stay there until the next municipal election in the odd year, or will there be a special election this year?
I believe he or she stays, becomes it until the next election in, 2 year, a year and a half.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Unless they're, well, it will be interesting because you have two people voting, and if they are deadlocked,
Yeah.
the two selectmen, then I think it gets
Now
thrown.
the selectmen on the
Yeah.
Canaan board now, are they both Democrats?
No.
No.
Well, it's very interesting. Jesse ran. He is a Republican, but he ran on the Democratic ticket, if you remember. So it's really a strange setup.
So
But
he was
he is
elected
considered as
as
a
a
Democrat,
Democrat, yeah, because
and the Melissa Pinardi is a Republican. She's the other
okay.
selectman.
All right,
Yeah.
so either party can have that seat then.
No, it has to go to a Republican because Brian ran on the Republican ticket.
Okay. I
Yeah.
didn't know if they had a rule that would enforce that. Normally, it's there can't be all three from the same party, so
Yeah, well, just it's really because in effect they are all three Republicans. So
yeah.
I just never understood how that was allowed to happen,
Well,
but
yeah, it's the oddity too, where Connecticut allows you to run on multiple lines with multiple parties if you want to. And the
yeah.
key to that is whichever line had the most votes for you is what you're going to be considered to be. And so,
Right.
like in this case with him, even though he himself was a Republican running on Democrat, he could have run on the Republican line as well as a double over, but he already had somebody there. But regardless, whatever line elects you, that's what you are. So when they run on these multiples, like working parties and green and other things are, if you're elected by that line, you are that person,
Yeah,
or that
yeah.
designation, I should say. It's
So
very
he is
weird.
considered a Democrat for this
Yep, because he
in
won
this.
on that line.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's interesting. So I would hope that they will come up with somebody and move on because, as we know, it's very hard when you have just two people. You can often be deadlocked in a vote. It's tough. And you need three people to really run it the town efficiently, I think.
Yeah, well, people deserve the full representation, and that's three.
Right. We're still looking at Holly Place and the soil issue. Everything is just stopped at this point. That's the affordable housing project that's been beleaguered since its start, and with
They
lawsuits,
weren't.
and
They
now
had a
it's soil contamination. So they'll be testing. And of course it's going to raise the price some more and increase the time for construction, and so I'm sure all eyes in Salisbury Lakeville are going to be on that for the near future.
Yeah, the cleanup, but the cleanup, the price, what the cleanup might be, depending on what they determine is there, and how much you have to drag out of there, because again, you're working on a very limited footprint there, in the middle of the village in a densely packed area. So if you have to start piling out tons and tons of dirt there, where are you going to put it? You're going to have to haul it out of there because there's no place to put it.
Wow.
securely. I mean, you're going to have, because you're right next to the lake and the pond, or you're really next to a factory pond right uphill from it. So it's
And you've got buildings on either side, and
So you've got a lot of environmental considerations there, and as well as I hate saying this, but it's liable to be very costly. But we'll
we'll see.
see.
So maybe, she said, digressing, since it's been beleaguered from the start, maybe in, a few years we'll turn around and go, oh yeah, whatever happens, because it is still seeming like a road to no. How many years have they been working on this? Forget this latest event, Mike.
Quite
I
a
mean,
few,
you.
at least 4 or 5 years now.
Any bets? Any takers? Anyway.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Because
I did a story this week, interesting story on building inspectors. There has been a real concern. Several building inspectors have retired in the last year or so. And speaking with selectmen, they were all concerned about, because there is a real paucity in the those who are certified. So fortunately, well, Stan McMillan retired, and he's been replaced by Bill Petraface, who fortunately could do both the jobs that Stan had. That's building inspector and fire marshal. So Sharon was okay, but Kent and Norfolk and Falls Village and Warren all needed somebody. And so John Papp has formed a LLC for building inspections. I think it's Litchfield Building Inspection Services, I think. So, and he will be covering those four towns, he and his associates. And so they've signed contracts with, or they're actually subcontractors in these towns. And but there is an issue around the state. There are only 200 building officials, from what I was told, throughout the whole state, because of the rigorous certification requirements. You need 6 months of schooling, and you have 12 modules with all the different parts that you have to learn. Most people now who are going into it have been in the building trades field, so you can challenge taking the course and go right to the test if you have sufficient knowledge and can prove it. So that now has helped with one of the problems that the towns are facing. And building, as you know, is increasing all over the place. Mr. Petraface, has got, as he said, several projects in Sharon, both commercial and residential, and so do these. So are these. Most of these other
Most of
towns
these other towns.
have a lot of projects on the horizon. You have to have a building inspector, so that hurdle has been, at least now, been overcome.
Well,
And
with 200 statewide, you have 169 towns, which includes large cities, which typically need more than one
many, many more than
building
one.
inspector. Yeah, I mean, it's you're on the edge of a very, very short a big shortage of building officials.
To me, it seemed 200, the whole state seems
Well,
wow.
it requires a lot of professionalism, and you have to be aware of the building codes and any changes that happen to them. And depending upon where you are inspecting, sometimes they're broken down. I know some towns have someone who inspects just the general building itself, a separate person for electrical, a separate person for HVAC inspections. So, and it's a very professional job. And I think in a lot of cases, the towns are, it's kind of like they used to treat town clerks and stuff when they were elected. They're not paying that well and not treating it like it should be. And seriously, this is one of those jobs that probably needs, in many towns, to have a better salary to it, get full-time people on there. Don't cheap out on it. And I think, I'm sorry to say this, a lot of towns do exactly that, as they were doing for a long time with registrars and voting. They weren't paying people to work the polls enough. So you had a shortage, and to run an election, you need people to follow all these rules. So once again, you've got to make the job worthwhile, because it does
Why
require a lot
change
of
the rules?
expertise and a lot of travel, and some towns, won't even provide them with a vehicle to drive around in.
No, you're absolutely right, but there's another question that I think speaks to a larger issue that people don't look at because they're so busy getting lost in the weeds of the rules and regulations. Why doesn't somebody revise or at least look at these regulations? Because at this point, it's all so convoluted and contradictory. And spending, basically all of this time learning all of this stuff that is not necessarily conducive to actually creating a product, but only slowing things down.
Yeah, but a lot of these building codes, electrical codes, and all come down from national organizations that are professional, and they have to do with structure. They have to do with things that code, what types of wire you need to use for certain things. So many of these, it's not really something that is, you're looking at the safety of the buildings and construction. There are national codes that everyone has agreed on are the standards. And so that's the whole point of this. This isn't like a planning and zoning thing, which is very different. This is
I do.
a dead
I
open,
just
you
think
can
that
do this or you can't do this. Somebody has to look at
no,
it and
I
make
just
sure it's
look
done right.
there's
And here
considering there's
again, we're
go on.
talking, here again, it's, I look at this again as they're professionals, and you need to have the right people, and maybe, as with, we're finding with assessors and town clerks and everybody else, well, these were never elected, but it's on the same line. You have to have people who are well trained and who know exactly what's going on. Not just any person can just walk in and say, I want to be a building inspector. These people have, I mean, they can be great danger if they don't do their jobs correctly. I mean, they Yeah, and
have to,
you've got to
as we are seeing with
pay
these
them
buildings.
accordingly too. It's paychecks need to be serious about this kind of job.
I
Yeah,
mean,
they it's
I'm saying the whole thing sort of needs to be revisited to make sense. What I was basically saying. Anyway.
oh, and
All
let me
righty. What else
okay. do we have on the radar here?
Well, we had railroad days in Canaan this weekend, and it was great to see all the. This was a real railroad days. This started back in the 1960s to honor the heritage, pay homage to trains in North Canaan because it was such a train town. And then over the years, it sort of got away from it, and there were more things that the railroads sort of got pushed to the background on railroad days. Now it's back again in full force. There were loads of trains in the yard behind the in the behind the station. All kinds of people visiting. I had lovely conversations with a lot of those who were there with the trains. I spoke with P.J. Bailey from Housatonic Railroad, who basically organized this event, and it was just great. People were in and out of trains and talking and learning, and their plan is, and now with the Housatonic owning the station, they have increased plans for doing other things and expanding. What caught my eye or ear when he said, and we hope to clean up the yard that's opposite gear, which we've heard, people complain about in the past. It's not exactly great looking, so I think townspeople will appreciate that. But it was a great weekend, and it was good to see railroads back out there.
Yeah, and I noticed they have been busily working at cleaning up that whole thing, which, yes, was a whole mess over there. So he's true to his word on what they're doing. It looks a lot better than it used to.
And just on a fun note, I was up in your neighborhood, Jill, this weekend, this week, last week, visiting Clover Meadows Goat Farm just down the road. And Stephanie Baldwin has opened up this goat farm, which is really an amazing operation with, and she's producing goat cheese there. And it's well, first of all, the goats were adorable. And secondly, she's really taken on this great project and is selling her cheese all over the area. And I got to learn just the whole system from starting with milking goats all the way up to delivering her cheese. And it's a very nice new business. It's called Glover Meadows Farm.
All right. And on that note,
Yes,
folks, it's time
I
to
will say.
abandon the ship at this point.
I wouldn't abandon it. I would just say busy, busy, busy. Thank you, and and we wait for further information next time. Meanwhile, this has been What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, roving, adventurous, far-ranging reporter on Robin Hood Radio.